Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. Folks in Pakistan would say Happy Resurrection Day today. I got a video this morning from a group over in Pakistan that their whole little area there is kind of a what they call a Christian colony, been there for years, and so most of the people that live there in the area is Christians, and they got up at 4 o'clock on Easter morning and all met together just as a common everybody knows, and at 4 o'clock everyone comes out and they have these light candles and stuff, and they all start singing and going, and they all go to the chapel, and it was really a very interesting, it was very interesting them singing and going. And I know that a lot of times we don't put the same kind of emphasis on the traditions when, or things like that, but that was very inspiring to see them come out and honor the Lord with that. I said to, told Linda, I said, we ought to do something like that. And she said, yeah, well, maybe we could all get out and something about walking down through Green Bank at 4 o'clock. I don't know. It's a little bit different over there just walking in the streets. And plus it was 35 degrees this morning here, and it was, you know, 75 over there when they got out. But anyway, it was very inspiring. I appreciate the Lord today. I'm glad for what the Lord's done for us. And I'm very thankful to be a servant of the Lord. I'd like to start this morning with a scripture in John, St. John, 10th chapter. In the 10th verse, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We think a lot of times, I think on this passage, we think of the devil, the thief cometh. Well, and surely the devil is the instigator behind all these kind of things. But I don't think that Jesus really had that particularly in mind when he spoke of this. I think it was a lot more than that. The thief cometh only for bad purposes and bad reasons. But it talked more, I think he was referring more to the things that was affecting people, the things that was telling you, think about this, not just our natural things. The thief not interested in coming stealing your natural things. This is a war of the soul. This is the devil that's coming and stealing the good things from people. And you look at the land we live in today, the world we live in today, devil's been very, very successful in taking the good quality, taking life from people and trading them death, giving them death in this society, the culture. In Jesus' day, it was mainly probably referring to talking to the Jews. He was referring to the old Pharisaical way of doing things, the customs that they had, the things that they had. They didn't lend to life. They caused people to have a worse life than ever. They didn't lift people up, but it took them down. And today, it's very true. You look around into the world and what's given to the world, it is death. If you look at it in a spiritual sense, it's death. There's a scripture that says that a woman that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. That's the idea. We're alive. We thank God for the natural life that God, because it is God that gives us natural life. But he wants more than that of us. I saw a interesting little thing. Maybe some of you have seen it. It was on the internet. I ran onto it somewhere along the line. Maybe you didn't. I'd like to try to explain it a little bit today. It was a anti-drug little cartoon that they did. And they had a little figure. I don't know if you all can see that, but that looks something like that. It's always just a little stick, kind of a little bird-looking thing that's walking along its way, and it walks up to this real shiny object, shiny material here, It walks up to it for the first time. It walks up to that and it looks at it. It hits it back and forth, plays with it a little bit, and then it ingests it. And when it ingests it, everything lightens up, and it's this little thing goes floating up into the air, up into a high, making loops, looks so fun, looks so joyful. It looked like a little bit of heaven. It was floating like in the clouds. It was so enjoyable, but at a little few tumbles and things, then it ends up coming back down, and it kind of lands on the ground, and the high is over, and it walks along. It walks up to this again. And this time it didn't play with it and stuff. It just looked at it and it ingested it. And it went up and it done just about half of what it did before. But it went up and it looked so joyful and fun. And but when it come back down, it kind of landed hard this time. Kind of stumbled. And now it gets down to the ground and it picks up its pace. It's walking faster and it comes up on the object again. And then this time when it comes up on the object, it runs up and ingests it real fast and it just goes up and makes one loop and kind of lands in a tumble as it hits the ground. And then it takes off running and it runs and it runs. It'll find some material again and it takes it and ingests it. And this time it just goes up a little bit into the air and then just crashes and goes tumbling and falling. And each time that it done it, this little creature changes. And then at the end of it, it's a creature that looks kind of like this. It's sitting there, and everything's dark and dead around it. That was depicting, trying to teach, don't start. Don't start that, because there's so much out there that looks like is so good. We want things in our life. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want things to come into our life. This was a depiction about what drugs do to wreck a person, and it ends up in this situation. To be honest with you, I've never done drugs. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I've never done drugs, and right here is why I never did drugs. My mommy and daddy told me that this is what it does. They didn't do drugs, and this is what we've seen. Wisdom cries in the street, and I saw those that did drugs in my life that ended up like this. There's a joke that goes around, maybe you don't know this, but there's a joke that goes around beyond West Virginia, out into other states, about West Virginians and not having teeth. Did you know there's a joke about the toothless that? Do you know that one of the things that's causing that is this? But start off with young people a lot of times want to have the fascination of this. They want the high. Who don't want to be up there and feel these things and all those kind of things? The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing good at the end of it. It isn't just drugs, though, folks. There's a lot that does that, that promises. It promises elation. It promises so many good things. This is what Jesus is talking about. There's so many systems out there. There's so many, from the political world to the entertainment world to the sports world. All of this fascination with all of this, it promises something. But at the end of it, there's nothing there that's wholesome or good or right. There's a reason why. Folks, listen. There's a reason why we love everybody. I mean, we're taught to love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. We love those that's downtrodden and all that. But there's a mental disturbance that's happening to our world now. There's things that's happening out there to the world that is not wholesome. It isn't good. It isn't right. It's because the enemy, the thief, has come and is stealing from people, is stealing the things of their souls, bringing death to them. This whole idea about the whole transgender movement, the whole thing about this, it's causing people's minds. It isn't wholesome. It isn't right. It isn't good. It isn't helping them. I'm not against them. I'm for them. I want them to be life. I want them to be wholesome. We can say, you know what? Somebody comes out with a new song. Who doesn't like singing? Most everybody likes the songs. And these artists and gifted people come out with tunes and musics. And, you know, I've heard a lot of the world's music, and a lot of it's fascinating. It's so far beyond my talent, the way they can put the music together and the lyrics and to touch you in emotional kinds. And somebody can come out with a new song, and you can jump right on that, and it can stir all the emotion things. Doesn't mean there's life in that. Many a times there's death in that. It's painted. It looks like it's like taking it for the first time. Wow, just how good that is. But in the bottom of it, it's promoting things that isn't good. It isn't like that. It just destroys you all at one time. It don't. It's an accumulation of many things. And so there's a thief. It's in all of the world around us. And the Lord surely looked at that. He looked at that of his people, of the ones he loves people, loves all that, and he looked and seen there's nothing but corruption in the world. Days of Noah, God looks down on the earth and said the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts is only evil continually. They went beyond that, and only death left there. And so the Lord said, the thief cometh not, but to kill and to steal and destroy. But thank God. For us, he says, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the wording's really interesting in this passage because it's like, I came that they might have life plus. I came that you might have life with something. We're living, but I came that they might have life, but have it with something else. Something added to it, something more to it than just that, more to it than the influences of the world that's around us. More than that, we can have something that is really, really life, really life. You know, honestly, you miss a lot of what life is really about if you don't love. What is life? What is life really without love? You know, the enemy's trying to take our love away. He's trying to take our love of God away. The love of ourselves. I'm not saying that in a pride sense at all. I'm saying love ourselves in the sense that we're worth something. That we're made in the image of God. That there's something valuable about us. You know, suicide rates are outlandish. Why are people despising themselves? The thief come and stealing. And he's bringing nothing but death to them. And it all comes off into some excitement, but at the end of it, it brings depression. Do you know only one sport team wins a championship? Well, what about everybody else? Most of the time, they're depressed. The more you get in, the more depressed you get about it. What happens really when, you know, God never intended marriages to fail. Marriages are supposed to work. That's a gift of God that's supposed to work. It doesn't work because it's being stolen. The real life is being stolen. Jesus said, here on this resurrection day, Jesus came and his resurrection out of that tomb, he brought life plus, a life plus, with more than just living, more than living, and more than just saying, listen, I know this is the ultimate. He brought eternal life. He brought a hope of us being able to live beyond this life. And it's the hope of all of ours that this isn't the end of it. But I want to tell you, eternal life starts now. Eternal life starts here. The life that's going to go on, that you're going to be forever over there with, starts here. You get to start enjoying the gift of eternal life here. It's alive to the soul, a soul life. But I'm now alive in my soul. And what the Lord wants to do is give us a power. I brought life that's not just fleeting. It isn't easy taken away. I brought a life to you. Do you know the Lord brought us something that is powerful and strong and life. And it is something that by the grace of God, the storms of life is not going to take away from us. It's not going to cause us. I know we get into these places, but the Lord has a grace for us that we don't have to be made bitter by the storms of life. We don't have to be made bitter by people being bitter towards us. We don't have to let death reign in us. We don't have to hate. We don't have to give ourselves to that. To those that are like that with us, by the grace of God, Jesus said that I came that they might have life, but not just life, life plus, that they might have it abundantly. Which you can't take that away. And all of the things of this world that's pushing against that, the old thief that comes to try to take that away. Jesus, he did it with Jesus too. He tempted Jesus too. Now Jesus is on the cross with the victory. He's on the cross having won. And now the most hideous crimes are against him. They are now saying, in essence, the one that caused so much trouble. Did Jesus cause trouble? No, he didn't. He came that we might have life. But this one that stirred all of it up, that went all against this, the one that they called Beelzebub, this was the heretic. This is what, now we got him on the cross. The idea is that he is a bad man. He was crucified on a cross like a common thief, a murderer, outside the gate with the trash. He was outside all of that. This is what they depicted the Lord as. And while he was being depicted as that, he says, "Father, forgive them." Do you know death never touched him? Oh, his body died for a while, but Jesus didn't die. The reality of his life didn't die. He didn't hate those that hate him. They didn't change him. He came to give life. The idea of Jesus being resurrected means more to the Christian than just I'll get to go to heaven when I die. It means that there's power and a resurrecting power of newness of life to me, that I can have life plus. I don't have to be that old man with the same tempers, the same passions, the same desires that rules and runs my life, that causes everything to look like this at the end of it. See, this was about drugs, but really, this is a depiction of everything that's wrong and everything that's death and everything that's wrong. This is people's marriages sometimes. This is people's relationships one with another. That can be a father and a son relationship, daughter and mother relationship. That can be all kinds of relationships right there that the thief is stolen and ends up into this ugly looking situation. I saw this other little depiction. It was just a picture of this old, old man and this old, old woman. And they're standing there. I think he's kissing her on their wedding ceremony because they was married like 70 years before, and they never got to have a ceremony. They just was, and they was having this, redoing this deal, and even this old man and this old woman, 70 years together, still had life. All those years, you don't think he ever left his socks in the floor? You think she ever clogged the drain up with her hair? Or what? I mean, what, all of these vacuum cleaners flying up with the hair. I run into this all the time with my girls and all this. You don't think that he ever snored at nights, or everything was picture perfect? No. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Life can come out of you. Life plus. That you can have more because Jesus arose from the dead. We can have more than what this common world can have. I can have a victory over my own passions and desire. Because he arose, I can have victory too. And he arose to give us a victory over all of those kind of things, all of my dispositions. I'm a certain way. I'm genetically a certain way. No excuse. I was raised environmentally. That's no excuse. I had a certain culture. That's no excuse. All that plays into our lives of who we are. But Jesus came that we might have life.
So it'll be a mixture of those things that's right and who we are and all those things. And yet for the things that destroy us and kill us and hurt our relationships and make us just totally dysfunctional with one another. My siblings still say the Clevengers was a dysfunctional bunch. Well, I want to tell you today, Jesus helps make me functional. I can get along. I can do what I need to do because of the Lord. I've had to lean on God's grace a lot to be able to do this. There's times that I have to run into it and say, Lord, help me to be able to do this. Because to be honest with you, there's a part of me don't even want to do it. But He come to give life in all of this. Thank God for the life that we have. When you look around in the springtime, suiting for this resurrection day in the springtime and the things coming up and the flowers coming anew, there come a dormant time and all that and a dead time for things. But the idea of this is that you know that every place in your life, you can have victory. There can be a victory in that. We look to change the circumstances. Many times we say, Lord, change my circumstances. I want to tell you, God can change circumstances. But He done something beyond the circumstances. He showed us in His death and resurrection that He didn't have to change the circumstances. There's power in the circumstances. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That's changing the circumstances. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There is a ability that we can have to go through our circumstances and be what Jesus would want us to be. Give us life. Life-giving. Life begets life. Life begets life. We're to be ambassadors of this life of Christ. We're to show the world what it means to have a relationship with the Lord. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I want to tell you, resist that thief. He's in all kinds of things. Resist the base things of this world. Resist the temptation to flare in anger. Resist the temptation to think that you can do it by yourself because you can't. But he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Life plus. Over in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the idea there in John 10:10 is an idea of what a shepherd was. He goes on and says he was a shepherd. The shepherd versus the thief. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The shepherd leads and guides the sheep. He takes them. The shepherd takes them into the places best for them. Sometimes we look and say it doesn't seem best, but the shepherd always knows what's best and takes us into those places. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is life. This is life plus. I know there's reality to this and our heartaches. But I know God's real too. He says, to send up the brokenhearted. Well, we've went through a time, many, many cases out there right now. We're praying for a number of situations. Brother Keith Williamson's passing away was sudden and shocking. And horrifying even, I think, to the mind, to those that was closest, was tough. One of my friends in Pakistan messaged me one day and said that her uncle, 43 years old, had been taken to the hospital. And a few hours later, she said he was healthy. And a few hours later, he was dead. He had a stroke and he died that quick. And it shocked. And today, even I got a message to pray for the to pray for his children, their adult children, grown, 20s, and they were just devastated. Dad left so quick. You know, Jesus still has life. He has the promise of eternal life, but he also has a life here. We have so much more because we have the Lord. He said that I have come to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There is a lot of heartache in this world. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of things like that. The Lord come to give life. The presence of the Lord is life. Lord, help us to lean hard on life and take advantage of the plus that's in this and give it to it more abundantly. There's a more abundant life in Christ than ever this world can have. You know, that might seem, if you've never experienced it, that might just seem like words. When you find fun in the things of the world, and you see the enjoy in the things of the world. But I want to tell you, right here is too often the end picture of those kind of things that seem to promise a little bit at the end of it. It doesn't really do much. I've told this many times, but it fits the story so well of a man that I met who had cancer. When I met him, he was battling his second bout with the cancer. And I spoke to him about it, and all he would talk about the cancer, all that I could get him to say about the cancer was that I beat it before, I'll beat it again. And then we went on to talking fishing and things like that. But as time went on, he was an avid fisherman. He loved to fish. He liked to get out in the boat, and he just talked fishing and fishing and fishing. But there come a day to where I walked into the hospital, and everybody's crying in the halls, and the family's out in the hall bawling, and the nurses are crying, and I walk up, and they said that the doctors just told him the news that there was nothing else that they could do, and it'd be a few days at the tops, and this is what was happening, and told him that. And so I was able to go in and talk with him, prayed a lot about it, and able to talk to him, and I could not get him to talk to me at all. We had been friends, but he laid there looking up in the ceiling. He wouldn't say anything, couldn't talk to him about anything. And I sat there and thought, fishing failed you. There's nothing wrong with fishing. But it failed at the end. When you put your whole heart in something like that and all it is, and at the end of it, what can it do for you? It can't do anything for you. I've seen the saints die. I've seen the saints live. And I've seen the saints die at the end of it. And if it may be a strange saying, but they die with life. They die with hope. They die with something knowing that it's better off. I've lived a good life. God's with me. And it's okay. And he came to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm going to tell you, it makes it a world of difference that Brother Keith served the Lord. It made a great difference that he was a good man and lived that way. It made all the difference to us, but that he has life and he had it abundantly, and God blessed us. I'll be honest with you. I feel like in my life of what we have now, I feel like we have so much. God has blessed us so abundantly in the land that we have, in the time that we have, not only just physically and all that, but we have the blessings of having the Bible, study guides. We have songs. We have so much to that. We have so much life at our hands, and it's a life plus. To bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison door to them bound. I'm sure that there is if you can imagine what it feels like. Wait a minute, let's say this. What it feels like to be a prisoner and be set free, a pardon. If you can imagine the feeling of being in prison for the rest of your life and the governor pardon you, and you get the news, you're pardoned. You get to go free. If you can imagine being, and I've been there many times, not seriously, but there has been those that have been a lot worse than I've of, that's been sick. and you get better. Keith, what's it feel like? I know you were sick there for a while. I'm going to put you on the spot, but what does it feel like to be so sick and then to be so better? I know Shada suffered. I know Shada had her bouts too, and to be so every day hurt, and then to be healed, to be made better. You know, the folks that we sent over and got them out of slavery over there that had so little hope that they would ever have a normal life, working in slavery. And when they die, their children's subject to the same debt and all that. And to be given this word, you're free. You're free. What did it feel like to be set free out of this? The Lord sent and set you free. We're not bound that way. I'm not sick today. I'm not bound by I'm not in prison. I'm none of those things. You know, the Lord was talking about much more than that. You can be up in a prison to your own passions. You can be in prison to your own desires. You know, it's down personally. God's got victory over these things. I'm going to say this gently. You don't have to eat too much. I know God can help us in the things of our life. I don't have to throw the hammer anymore. I know there's a victory there in that. I don't have to give over to the laziness of my life. I don't have to give over to the indifference of my life. I don't have to give into that. It's like a prison. It's like a prison that I'm in when I can't do it any better for myself. But the Lord said, I come to open the prison doors to them that are bound and chained with their own passions and desires and those kind of things that the world's fastened with. You know, there's epidemic. There's a fentanyl epidemic. Well, I don't know a lot about fentanyl. I know that there's this stuff is laced and it's poisonous in many cases. And one time, they told the story of a guy that just thought he was taking oxycodone or something to give him some pain relief for a headache. And he took one of these fentanyl deals, and it killed him within a couple of hours, and he's dead. And I'm hearing this all over the country that there's this problem with these drugs and stuff coming from stuff like that. And I'll just have to ask this question to start with. Who wants to take it anyway? I'm not being critical. People want out. People want more than they can see that they can have. People want relief. Sometimes it's relief from themselves. Sometimes it's relief from a bad family situation. Sometimes it's a relief from guilt. Sometimes it's just relief of the humdrumity of life. It's just, I gotta have something more than this. And so there's this epidemic of people taking these things, and who in their right mind, I ask it honestly, who in their right mind would actually brew this stuff up that they have and take this stuff that's so prevalent out there now that actually they say that it heats up, actually literally heats up the cells in your brain? Who would do it anyway? But yet it's being done. That's why people are losing their teeth and these drugs, the things that they're doing. And I have to say, I mean, meth? Heat your brain up for a little rush, and once it heats up, you actually kill the cells there. And I'm saying, who in their right mind would do it? People that's needing something. People that need something. And Jesus came to give it. And he made a declaration here against the thief. The thief is the world that's proclaiming. The thief is this thing that's out there that's doing it. That is telling people that this is what you need, this is what you ought to do, this is the way to get through life. Jesus comes through as the shepherd and says, the thief's coming to kill you. The thief's writing your songs. The thief is entertaining you from Hollywood. The thief is trying to get you away from that, and all it's going to do is bring death and heartache to you. You know, for years and years and years, I never thought so, but for years and years and years, Disney was put at the pinnacle of family ideas. No, it was. Disney was your decent. Was your decent. I seen some of it that I said, that ain't decent. That ain't right. That's death. That's the devil stealing from the next generation. That's what that is. I've seen it. Probably everybody in here has seen something along the lines of it. They are showing. It's showing. It's going to show it. It's going to get there at the end of it. It's going to end up being, ain't flying no more. And more it's putting, this is down to where it's at now. It's actually promoting a mind that's likely to take its own life. It's promoting things that's base and bad and good. And for years it was set as the high, it was the floating. It was the, yeah, that was so enjoyable. That was so nice. And that, this, and now it's coming down to rock bottom, hard landing. But Jesus said, I come to give life with a plus. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mix. What Jesus brought is pure. It's not mixed with the notions and ideas of this world. It stands by itself. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That we can sit down with peace in our hearts. That we can look every person in the eye, because I haven't cheated you. I haven't wronged you. I haven't done anything against you. I don't talk about you behind your back. Well, I may talk about you, but I ain't talking about you. You know what I'm saying? I may mention you. There's talking and there's talking evil and doing it. I don't have to turn away because I've been doing something that shouldn't do. God, He come to give that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And when you compare, when you really get down to comparing the two, Jesus outshines it all in the soul. I know for those that aren't lit in the soul, aren't alive in the soul, that Christian life seems boring, old-fashioned, and unnecessary. But to someone that has, understands what Jesus really brought, that He brought us life. That we have life. We're going to start right now with our eternal life, and we're going to go right on into eternity with eternal life, with something that can't be taken away. The Scripture says that the things that are seen, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. The eternal things are the things that you cannot see with your eyes. As a matter of fact, you can't even hardly explain these things to somebody that don't experience them. You about have to experience this to know what I'm talking about. I know that there's things that I love to do and all this, but I never seen anything come even close to a visitation of the Lord in my life. I've never seen anything, no thrills that I've ever had. I've never had a thrill on any kind of a ride or a day out, do it, whatever. I've never had a thrill like I've had with the visitation of the Lord. When the Lord comes and talks to my, and with me, there's nothing that compares to the warm, burning feeling of God's love in us. It's life. And life will beget life. Life will beget more life. Lord, help us to take advantage. This is one thing you don't have to, you can look at the world around. You don't have to take advantage of it, but it's there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me and I'll give you this life. This life shall be in you a river springing forth out of your belly. This is a living water that will spring forth out of you. That'll be this. This is the real life. That the Lord told the woman at the well, it was that Nicodemus He told, about this is living water that I'm going to give to you. He told the woman at the well, you don't thirst again. You will not thirst again if you drink this water. Lord, help us to take advantage of this life. I'm glad that the Lord paid the sacrifice. He went to the cross. He paid the ultimate price. And then because of the nature of the no sin life, there was no death. He came out of the grave because death couldn't hold it. There was nothing there to hold. And he came out of the grave, and it represents the power and the victory that we can have too. We are to be testaments of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe, does the world really believe that Jesus lived and died and resurrected? They can believe he lived and they can believe they died. It's hard for them to believe that Jesus really resurrected. The proof of Jesus' resurrection to the world is supposed to be his people. We are supposed to be the testament that Jesus Christ arose from the dead because we have the abundant life. We have a life beyond this life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.